And people like to discuss that. That's what's going to happen today. We're going to talk as a family. I'm going to first address you. And the Bible says that without a vision, the people perish. And so I believe it's very important that each one of you that are sitting in your seats here that are making New Testament Christian Fellowship your home, that you understand what the vision of this leadership in this church believes in and where we're headed, where we are, where we've come from, and where we're headed. It's so important because we can't do this without you. And so today I'm going to share with you the vision of New Testament Christian Fellowship. And hopefully it's a vision that will resonate in your heart and that you will want to be excited about it, a part of it, participate in it, and get others to do the same. Following that time, what the President of the United States doesn't do and some of these other leaders is I'm going to sit here and I'm going to have an open forum where you can ask me anything you want. It does not have to be about the vision of this church. It can be a spiritual question. It could be something that you got stuck on in your Bible. It could be any question you want. I become highly vulnerable here because I'm going to be here with my Bible giving you what God has downloaded in me. If I cannot answer your question, I will tell you I don't know because I'm not afraid to say that and get back to you because there's always people that do know or resources that we have. And you've been a part of this once before. You seem to enjoy it. I didn't as much, but you said I did pretty good. So we're going to do it a little bit more often, maybe every other quarter or so. And we'll just see how that runs. But right now, one of the most important things I think is for any church to do is to cast a vision for this church. And I'm about to do that for you. So let's just pray this in. Father, you are the great I am. I always cry when I sing that song, for no demon in hell will stand against you. And therefore, since we're sons and daughters of the Most High God, they cannot stand against us when we walk in your authority and we walk in your power. And so, Lord, I'm asking you right now to take away any interference whatsoever by any demonic entity or anything that would try to detract from the vision that you've placed upon this church, coming through my heart as the senior leader and the heart, Father, of our elders and our deacons and those that have been through our co-laboring class. Lord, we are a church family, and together, hand in hand, we want to go into these final days stronger than ever so that when you come back for a church that is militant and victorious, not weak and debilitated. In Jesus' name, amen. This is not a sermon, but I'm going to read to you what I believe 17 years ago. Actually, it goes beyond 17 years ago. 17 years ago is when we birthed the actual physical church, when we all came together. But before that, God had placed within my heart a passion for what you're about to hear. The only reason I left physical therapy and athletic training, what I was trained in the natural for, was because of this burden that God put on my heart to start a church, because Lord knows we have enough churches on every street corner to go around forevermore, amen? We don't need just another church to pop up. And so the reason this began was because I really felt in my heart that God said he wanted the church to get back to the book of Acts, to go back to our first love, to get started right where Paul and Peter and all the disciples started, and to try in some way, shape, and form turn this religious boat that we've been on for the last 2,000 years and get it headed in the direction that God originally intended, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even his government structure, which will return one day like it was in the old, in the in-between time, has a shape and a form. And what you're about to hear is what God has given me to bring through you. And it will be your decision to either say, yay and amen, or I don't want to be a part of that. So New Testament Christian Fellowship was birthed based on the revelation in Scripture that the church, is not a building or a religious system based on a particular form of human government, but rather it is anywhere that believers gather together in Jesus' name under God's government. It's not a building. It's not a religious system. It's the gathering together of his saints in the name of Jesus. Anywhere, out under a tree, and if Africa, in the rain, anywhere, where two or three are gathered together in his name. under God's form of rule. It's called government, His rule. Not our rule, His rule. Not our democracies and our bureaucracies and things. Theocracy, meaning God is still in charge of His church. This scriptural government structure is controlled by God through Jesus' gifts to the church. And what was Jesus' five gifts to the church to set up this form of government? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And what was the role that Jesus said these five would function in? To equip the saints or its members for works of service. It is a place for the corporate body to worship God together and function and function and function. I'm going to say that again. Not just to come and worship together and let the pulpit ministry happen, but it's to come together and let the body function in their God-given giftings. Hence why it's spread out and we all have a gift or gifts. Leadership's role is to help foster this by providing first an atmosphere for developing an intimate relationship with God and then empowering His saints to witness for Christ and destroy the works of the enemy. Jesus came for two reasons. To be that what? That evangelism, that bold witness, and to destroy the works of the enemy. That's our same mission. We cannot do that without that same intimate relationship that Jesus had with His Father. For I only do what the Father tells me to do. So our leadership's job is to develop and to get you to develop an intimate relationship with God and then equip you to go out and destroy the works of the enemy as well as to be a bold witness for His name so that others can be added into the family. We believe, again, helping you find your divine destiny through the divine giftings that God has given to you personally. We are to draw those out. We believe that it takes a healthy spirit. Remember, you are spirit, soul, and body. We believe it takes a healthy spirit, soul, and body to effectively accomplish this, as the world needs to see that Christianity is set apart. I'll say it again. Christianity is set apart from all other religions as the only way of salvation. So for Christianity to be set apart as the only way of salvation, the world is going to need Christians walking around with a healthy spirit, soul, and body, with the giftings that God has given leadership in the church to bring out the giftings that God has placed within you to work hand in hand as bricks on a wall together to exemplify the body of Christ on earth as it is in heaven. So in order to accomplish this new covenant, New Testament directive, we at NTCF have established a theocratic form of government. What does that mean? Theocratic. That means God's in charge, God's rule. And we do that in the form of, as I have already said, the fivefold ministry already mentioned. Your leadership, in turn, submits itself under outside apostolic council, consisting of three leaders of like-minded churches. To be in authority, the Bible says that we need to be under authority. So we do have three pastors of three like-minded churches that are available to all of you that can hold your spiritual leadership in check. And what do I mean by that? If we walk outside the boundaries of Scripture, if we do things that are unprofitable for us in a realm of sin and all the other things, obviously you can't go to your pastor if your pastor is the one committing these deeds. You need an authority to go to. So again, these churches, these three like-minded churches, are part of our genetic makeup, if you will, of this church, and we are accountable to them. Together, we encompass, again, the network of our churches encompass all five ministry gifts and participate in joint mission opportunities. And although we may not have a prophet or evangelist, per se, in-house, we do flow in the prophetic and evangelism and are able to experience the fruit of these ministries. So between our churches, if we were to call in a prophet or to call in an evangelist or raise up one of our own, we know that all five ministries are desperately needed. And God sees to it that we get the fruit of those ministries because we all can prophesy, but we're not all prophets. We all can evangelize, but we're not all evangelists, right? This is the way that the Scripture tells us that we function. Now, to help fulfill God's vision for his church and therefore the vision of New Testament Christian Fellowship, we've developed a deep healing ministry to work on the sanctification of our soul. We've got to work on spirit, soul, and body. So the way the Lord has led us is that we have a deep healing ministry. Some people call it a deliverance ministry. Some people call it just the Holy Spirit talking to you intimately about those things that you need to work on to purify you as hyssop, and you shall be clean, right? Trim it, put you in the fire, get that gold shining, right? Call it whatever you will. We call it deep healing, and we work on it for your soul as far as New Testament Christian Fellowship. I believe we also have a strong pulpit and discipleship ministry to work on the what? The maturation of your spirit. What does that mean? To mature you spiritually. I think the word that comes forth from this pulpit, whether it's me or Bert or anyone else that's come from this pulpit, is meat. We're not a seeker-oriented church. We're not an elementary school. We desire to grow you quickly and mature you, and yet to keep it simple so that we understand and can practically carry this out. So we have, again, in place that as far as our pulpit and discipleship ministries. We also help you both spiritually and physically to minister to your natural bodies, or should I say the temple of the Holy Spirit, as God calls it. Praise and worship, home fellowships, and mentoring are all available to help develop your intimacy with God and each other. And I'll say that again. Praise and worship facilitates this. Home fellowships, where we meet house to house, and mentoring are all available to help develop your intimacy level. Remember, we have to do that with God before we can serve him. We've got to know him, and we've got to know what he wants. We also know that prayer is the foundation for all ministry and should not be limited to simply this corporate setting or this corporate meeting. We do offer alternative times to pray and certainly encourage personal prayer on a daily basis. Our children are our future. Would you not say that? And therefore, teaching them to flow in the very same giftings that our adults experience is paramount. We need to go beyond simple Bible stories, and it's one of the wisest moves we've ever made. I also believe it was wisdom to limit programs here at NTCF in order to focus on relationship building and spiritual development, as we believe service flows out of relationship and not vice versa. Now, currently we are experiencing, as a lot of you can see, some attrition here at NTCF in our attendance, especially the younger generation. But after carefully scrutinizing this turn of events by looking into the motivations behind those who have left, God's call remains the same upon this church, and we are encouraged to remain steadfast in our love for one another, sound doctrine, accountability, and commitment to his direction for the New Testament church. We must persevere with what God has revealed to us, because the pattern that I see throughout the scriptures is that once the sanctification process starts after our initial conversion, numbers do tend to decrease. 3,000 may have been converted in one day at Pentecost, but do we know how many remained? 20,000 may have received Christ in an evangelistic crusade, but how many plugged into a church and developed their spirit, soul, and body in a worshipful way? 10,000 may sit in a church, but how many really know him? This is not to be critical, but as James Dobson says, when you begin to draw closer to the flame, he calls it flying closer to the flame, not everyone can stand the heat. God indeed is a God of unconditional love, but he is also a consuming fire and desires us to burn off the dross. Church is not ours to do with as we will, but as Jesus wills, and that is that we grow into mature men and women of God. NTCF began in 1999, securing the elementary school as a place of gathering, and we immediately began home fellowships. In 2000, we organized our church government, established policies and procedures, and began community work days and visited local congregations in order to establish unity. By 2001, we began having regular retreats, men's and ladies' fellowships, community-wide prayer, and the purchase of our current facilities. Our five-year plan was to get grounded in God's word, work on interdenominational unity, begin body ministry, and raise up leaders. We completed these goals and began to meet longer-term goals of building an outdoor fellowship hall, establishing a deep healing ministry, and promoting an atmosphere to experience the manifest presence of God. We have seen the ebb and flow of people coming in and out of this fellowship as prophesied that we would be a watering hole and a place of restoration of leaders. We have also seen the deeper level commitments of long-standing brothers and sisters in Christ who believe this house is in God's will to experience the latter rain or outpouring of God's tangible presence upon this area. Every year, God has been faithful to meet our budgetary needs. And I believe even with a year where our attendance level may not seem to indicate this year otherwise, He will continue to supply all our needs in Christ Jesus. I'm going to finish with an outline of what I believe God is speaking to New Testament Christian Fellowship today and the direction for our future. We must be faithful in building upon the foundational work that He started here back in 1999. 99 of 99. So I have laid out a rough draft of what this future will look like for us should Jesus tarry in His coming. You are going to learn keys, I call them keys, that lead to the release of the anointing. Do you know what I mean about that? We've preached it over and over again, that the anointing that God has placed in you through the power of the Holy Spirit just needs to be released. It's already there. You have the potential to be everything that you can be in God. You're going to learn keys that are going to help you release that here, the anointing, to fulfill Christ's charge to the church to do greater works. Remember John 14:12? Greater works than what I do, you shall be able to do because I go to the Father. Well, He didn't mean that we could do anything better than resurrecting somebody. He meant we're going to be able to do greater works, meaning more works. A greater number of works. Why? Because He's with the Father. Now the Holy Spirit is in each one of you, and you get to do what He did. Yeah. So a greater number of works and a greater quality. I'm not even going to say quality because it doesn't get any better quality than Jesus. He meant that there's going to be more done because He's with the Father, and He now has His church being empowered. I've used an acrostic with the word poignancy, which you'll see in a minute. Poignancy. Some of you... You know, that word has not been used quite often in our vocabulary, but I looked it up and it was perfect for what I believe the vision that God has for this church. I'm going to use this word poignancy as an acrostic to illustrate how we will accomplish this vision here at New Testament Christian Fellowship. The word poignancy means to affect something deeply, and it is our intent to arouse a passion and understanding in you for this higher calling and ministry. Purification, obedience, intimacy, God's government, and nurturing will all be a part of a fruitful week of training to reign with Christ. We are here to train to reign. This is not home. This is not it. Christ is preparing us to be able to do what? Governmentally rule with Him in eternity. We're being trained. And therefore, as it is on heaven, so it shall be on earth. Purification, obedience, intimacy, His government, and nurturing is all part of what Christ wants us to train in. Scripture, as always, will be at the core of this discipleship training. Scripture is our foundation for all of the training that we will do. Psalm 68, verse 35, points to the result that we are praying expectantly to accomplish. This is the theme of a book that I've written, which will be released when this outpouring comes. And it's what the vision for this church is, and it's based on this scripture, Psalm 68:35. O God, Thou art awesome from Thy sanctuary. The God of Israel Himself gives strength and power to the people. Blessed be God. Do you understand what that says? God, You are awesome from Your sanctuary. The God Israel Himself gives strength through us and power to the people. Blessed be God. It doesn't get any better than that. You are God's body. You are God's hands and feet. And it's this leadership's responsibility to draw out everything that God has placed within you and bring it to the forefront so that as bricks on a wall, we build this structure that the devil cannot penetrate. We've got to stay true to accountability. We've got to stay true to intimacy. We've got to stay true to obedience. We've got to stay true to purification. We've got to set it up exactly how God wants it set up. And when we do it His way, Yahweh will show up and we will be powerful instruments in His hand to make change in this world, more so than you can do in your own strength. Folks, out in the field is where salvation generally takes place. The church is where worship and discipleship occurs. Right. NTCF co-laborers will all contribute to this week. And I've designed it, and this is, remember, I'm showing you our future. Why are we doing everything we're doing? Why are you being trained? It's not to function within these four walls. It's to go out into the world, into all Jerusalem, and all parts of the earth. And what's better yet, in the New Testament, if you remember, wherever Jesus went, what happened? The people what? Came. So we go out, but we bring the invitation. Jesus brings the invitation, and just because the anointing's all over them, the people will come. Well, that is my philosophy. We're going to draw people. We're going to make them jealous, just like we're supposed to be making the Jews jealous, right? We're going to make them jealous, and we're going to bring them in because they're going to see a powerful change in lives. People getting saved, people getting delivered, people operating in their giftings. The New Testament church come alive. To do that, we got to get the word out. To do that, we got to be trained. And to do that, we have to have laborers out there. Because, you know, it's ripe for the picking. But we've got to have laborers. And so this is going to be our plan here at this church to be able to draw the people in, to train them up in this philosophy, to empower them, to destroy the works of the enemy, and obviously to be a bold witness to others. It's going to be a week of physical, emotional, and spiritual training as your giftings and your time allows. If we all participate, you don't have to be here 6 days a week or 7 days a week. It might be an hour or two that you're able to contribute. It might be a day that you're able to give. It could be the whole week because you're just, that's how God wants to use you. But everybody can play a part in what we're about to do in the future as the Lord does what? Certifies us and supplies us. We know we've been sent. But that certification, it's in the process, and the supply, once that comes, this is going to go down. So, it is time to pray in the property that we're going to need, the buildings that we're going to need, the resources we're going to need, and the committed co-laborers to fulfill this vision. This God-given vision can bring unity and power to all churches. This is not just for us. This is so that we can be an example, as Paul said he was an example, so that other churches, when they see the power of God working through His people, can catch it, and we're giving it away at no charge. This is for churches to adopt and to take in. But it's all for naught if we don't see the power of God at work through us in this manner. And the vision will fall on its face if we don't have people that join hands together, catch that vision and say nothing, no demon in hell, as we sang, will stop the power of God from moving in this place. It is the leadership's job on Sunday mornings and other times that we gather to empower you to find your place in this body and equip you to participate in this, and I'm going to say this, in this worldwide discipleship process. But Pastor, worldwide, we're here in Landrum between these four walls. Listen to me. Worldwide begins with our own church, then our community, then to our nation, and then finally to all nations. Do not despise small beginnings, folks. We have a big God who's capable to go far beyond these four walls. This is how the early church began. I'd like to follow their example. How about you? Pam, if you'll put up on the screen. I call this having a church empowered by His presence. That's the name of my book that eventually will get released. Having a church empowered by who? By His presence. NTCF will pray in and prepare for an opportunity to serve in our community and our nation as a church that is empowered by His presence, addressing one's entire spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says that He wants to what? Preserve our spirit, soul, and body entirely. Entirely. That means your spirit, your soul, and your body, your physical body, until he comes. We should be going out like Moses went out. We should be going out like Joshua went out. Fully strong. We don't, you know, at the very end, we curl up our legs in the bed, and boom, that's how we should go. Cancer shouldn't be taking us out. All these other things in life, like disease processes, that's not God, that's the devil. That's because of ignorance and a lack of knowledge. Spirit, man, should be ready for Jesus to come back at any time. Soul, we should be emotionally sound, and our body should be strong, a strong mind and a sound body. We got people in here who have been trained in wellness, in body, in spirit, in soul. We know how to get back to the deeper roots that are in your life that can root out some of those things you've been bothered by for all these years. You just haven't found them. But how do we know? Because we're led by the Holy Spirit. It's not some incantation. It's not some kind of witchcraft. It's not some kind of Freudian principle and stuff like that. We're a coach like Jesus who asks you questions to get back to your root problems. And then you meet with the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit shows you how to purify. And when you get purified, let me tell you something. Woo! When you feel good, you can preach all day, you can sweep all day, you can sing all day, you can play all day. It was like those guys back in the old time band, they didn't get worn out. They went from place to place, but Paul preached all night. I'm not going to do that today. But you understand a healthy spirit, soul, and body will put you in a whole other realm of activity for your life. A sample of what we're going to do is look like this. This is just a sample. It's not been perfected yet. I've put a rough draft together. It can be changed. It's not written in stone, but it looks like this. The Empowered Church. It would be a week where at some time and at some place where God does make the supply, and we've already taken the first step. We've purchased the property behind us that goes back about a couple acres, acre and a half. But if you know, and if you've ever looked back there, that thing goes way back, pushing back, way back, right? That's what they say in football. There's a lot of property there. If we could put a motel complex there where people could come in from all over the nation at some point in time. We start with our community, small beginnings. We start locally. We've already done it here in our church. You guys have been through some of this. We can get it into our community. We can get it in where people will come, and we build a campus that will be able to go through this process. Look at the word poignant. Deeply impacting our community. P, purification. O, obedience, sanctification, washing in the word. I, intimacy, praise, worship, prayer, the anointing. Government, fivefold ministry we talked about, spiritual giftings, and nurturing. Diet, exercise, rest, healing, wellness. And then lastly, putting it into practice. Practical application at, attending, NTCF. Now let me explain this and then I will be done and I'll open things up for questions for you. The model that you see, and leave it up there, Pam, for you guys to look at as I go through this, is based on the construction of the Old Testament tabernacle. What? Follow me. As we know, God's principles never change, but his methods often do. Folks, today the church is God's tabernacle. Corporately, we make up God's tabernacle. Individually, you're God's temple and tabernacle. So you're a little tabernacle, tabernacling, if you will. The tabernacle is coming together. Remember how Israel used to tabernacle as a community coming together? That's church. All those tabernacles, tabernacling together is the body. It's the church. But individually, we are a tabernacle. We're a piece of the body. It's just a bigger body you see here. So the church is God's tabernacle or temple, and we all individually function as a what? Royal priesthood of believers, it says, within the tabernacle, like bricks in a wall, doing our part. In the Old Testament, the Levites were chosen to be set apart to do the work of the ministry within the tabernacle. Guess what? Jesus, when he died on the cross, said the veil was torn in two, it was split apart, and we all now have access into the Holy of Holies, our Father God. So we're all now priests and priestesses unto him. So the responsibilities in the New Testament that we have is the same as the ones that they had in the Old Testament. Amen. It became very quiet. I'm almost done. Hang with me. I want you to see where God gave me this vision in 99, actually well before that, before I got into the ministry to show you how God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we have to change our methods to adapt to what he's currently doing today in the New Testament. Exodus chapter 40 sums up how the tabernacle was erected. You could read chapter after chapter after chapter after Moses had to dot his I's and cross his T's and build it this way and do it this way. I mean, it was obedience, obedience, obedience. They had to follow a plan and a plan of action that's second to none today with any building that's ever been built, as far as I'm concerned. Some of you can say amen to that, because when you read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, by the end of that, you're going, oh my gosh, let's get on to some easier stuff to read. And it's true. Exodus 40 sums up how the tabernacle was erected and how the priests were to function. The first thing the priests had to do as they entered the tabernacle was to do what? To wash. To be purified or washed with water. It's in verse 12. God's Holy Spirit, the Word of God, does this for us today through the sanctification process that we have labeled as inner healing. We don't do, Ted and I discussed this morning, we don't do inner healing. The Holy Spirit inner heals. We're just a coach. We're a facilitator to get you to meet with God so he shows up. Because if God doesn't show up, you're going down. You'll be worse when you leave our office than when you came. Amen. We have no counsel in and of ourselves. We have no wisdom in and of ourselves. It's just a process God has downloaded in us through various places we've learned from and taken notes from and seen anointed individuals get fruit from, and we're put it in our own way, and that's what you see there. So we're going to dedicate significant time to that. What do they say in a hospital? The most important thing you do before you're a surgeon or anybody else is there's instructions on how to wash your hands. I mean, specifically, you got to get between the fingers and at the end of the fingers, and if you don't do it for a certain amount of time, you're not clean. How much more if that's in the natural do we spiritually need to be clean? God sees everything, every germ. Every germ is what they're looking for. Otherwise, if there's germs in there, you'll come out of your operation with a bacterial infection. You can be worse than when you went in. Well, sin is a germ. And God sees that in our lives. And what he wants us to do is not condemn us. He wants us to get a bar of soap and go like this, so that we will be able to be empowered with no obstructions in the way of fulfilling what I've just told you about the call of God. So the first thing the priests had to do was wash or purify themselves. And we do this, like we said, through the inner healing process that we've started in this church. That's how we address it. Then came the anointing and the consecration of the priests. That's what happened next. This is where intimacy develops, as they are set apart to be exclusively used for God, verses 13 to 15. Well, how do we obtain the anointing? How do we get anointed today? Through praise, through worship, through prayer. You want intimacy with God? You got to praise him. You got to get into his presence. You got to pray. You got to worship. I mean, this is what we're fostering with you. That's why it's not that we're trying to be repetitious every Sunday. But folks, we got to get this. We got to get washed in the Word. We got to cleanse. We got to get in there and get praise, worship, and prayer going, because that's what sets us apart. That's when you meet somebody out in the supermarket or you're out on the evangelistic field, you're one up on them, because the Spirit of God is in you and moving through you, and then they're just going to be in awe, not of you, but of God through you. So we obtain the anointing this way. Verse 16 says that all the Lord commanded Moses, he did. When he set the priests apart, the first thing he did was offer a sin offering. After he anointed and consecrated them, the first thing he did was offer a sin offering. Obedience was the key in the arrival of God's glory. It says that God's glory, after Moses did everything and the people did everything, and I'm telling you, it's a laundry list that you couldn't keep up with today. Thank God for the New Testament, right? The gold and the overlaying and the rings, right down to every last little detail, had to be perfect. And when it was, it says that God's glory entered that tabernacle and the priests could not even stand the presence, the heaviness, the weightiness of God came into that sanctuary. into that tabernacle. And it says when Moses came out, his face shone. When Joshua came out, his face shone. And let me tell you something. When you're in the presence of God, and some of you in here like Ted and others that have probably been in and part of that heaviness coming down and settling upon a congregation, you know, I'm jealous. But I know that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's not partial, so it can happen right here. But we got to follow his way, his plan. So, he was obedient, and they were obedient, and they made their sin offering. Obedience was the key to the arrival of God's glory. And what does Jesus tell us in the New Testament? That if we truly love him, if we truly know him, if they're going to recognize us as his disciples, if we love him, we will obey him. If we're disobedient, people aren't going to recognize us as Christians, and Jesus doesn't want you to identify yourself as a Christian. If we're walking around in rebellion, the last thing you need to say is, I represent Jesus. Come on, does that make not sense? That's simple. It's like elementary school. Obedience releases the blessing. It brings repentance brings refreshing. These terms are, it's because that's how people are going to see God. They're going to see us as we, what? We're the priesthood of believers. We wash. We go through that inner healing process. We come in here and we praise and we worship and we pray and we get that anointing going and kicking up in us. And then what comes? It says after that, what happened? As far as government structure, again, read Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. Specifications, God's specifications for leading the New Testament church came in the New Testament from Jesus. How? He said, I'm giving you the fivefold ministry and the giftings of the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't just a prophet, wasn't just Moses or Joshua or one of the kings that was giving instruction to Israel. Now Jesus says it's going to be a collection of all the priests together. We're all the tribe of Levi. And he says, I'm going to bring leadership to that. Remember what Moses did? Moses' father-in-law came and said, you can't do this all by yourself. You need to surround yourself with other people to handle all the different problems that were going on, or you're going to burn yourself out. So Jesus gives to the church, firstly apostles, secondarily prophets, then evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then he says, that's great for your leadership, but now what about all the people that are going to do the work? Then the Holy Spirit comes rushing on in and living in you. And he says, oh, I've got that covered, Jesus. Because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they're one, and they're communicating, and they go boom, boom, boom. And so all the gifts of healing and miracles and tongues and interpretation of tongues, and again, and you name it. Look at them. Look them up. They're all in you. If you got the Holy Spirit, at any point in time, any one of them can surface. Some function more in one than the others because that's the way God wired you specifically, knit you in your mother's womb so that you could function, not sit back there and watch church happen up here. Just saying. So the New Testament church government came from Jesus, and it was the fivefold ministry, the giftings of the Holy Spirit. And as you can see, as Paul expanded upon that, there were elders put in place, which was your leaders, and deacons who served the elders. That's New Testament government, all submitted underneath the theocracy of God, allowing our church services to flow as he will flow, not having an order of service, putting it on a bulletin, say, okay, do this, do this, do this, do this, and do this. God, what do you want to do today? How do you want the gifts to flow? How do you want to build a building? What do you want us to go do, be? You can't go wrong when Jesus' ministry gifts and the Holy Spirit's ministry gifts are all functioning together in unity. You just can't. And you've watched it come together. Lastly, we know that the priests were responsible for the daily care of the temple. Do you remember that? The Levites did not work. They had complete and total responsibility for the temple because God is a God who demands and commands, and everything that we should do is our utmost for his highest with excellence. When we got a lawn that looks in disrepair and a house that looks in disrepair or a temple or a sanctuary back in the old days, if it was decrepit and fallen down, do you think God would have approved of that? No way. No way. Well, guess who the temple is today? You. Your body. Your body, it says, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Daily care. God's word tells us that we are now God's residence on earth in our bodies. It should be the Hilton. Caring for our bodies with proper diet, rest, exercise and the gift of wisdom and knowledge applied to maintain homeostasis through proper wellness should be just as important to us as the detail God gave Moses to erect the physical tabernacle correctly. When you exhibit the fruit of the Holy Spirit, your chemicals and hormones that God designed in you to function correctly and intimately together will function correctly. When you're out of homeostasis and you have an increase or a decrease in chemicals that should be secreting this certain way, in a certain way, what happens? Disease. And disease is not of God. What happens? We're not functioning in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. We move out of that realm into rebellion. We move out of that into sin and all that stuff. And we get into anxiety and fear and all of the other emotional toxins that begin releasing our hormones and chemicals and just indiscretionate patterns. And so that's why we see everything we see today. Yes, it's important to address our body. It's not the most important thing. What rules and reigns is our spirit man, because you know what? We're going to be with Jesus one day. We're not even going to have these things anymore. But as we relate to this world and he's got us in it, we should be going out with a bang, not with cancer, but being healthy and going out strong when he calls us home. Hence we see Saturday, the nurturing aspect of this long-term plan we have for here. Diet, exercise, rest, healing, and wellness. And I know we got enough nurses and wellness people and things in here that if you really want to know about how to rest and diet and exercise and that stuff, we're going to get her done. We got people that are doing the purification process in here, Teresa and Brian and such like that. They're going to be ones that are going to be getting into there and getting to the emotional roots of some of the things you guys have been dealing with. Yesterday we had a couple that came in, and what happened? There was a broken heart underneath all of this stuff that he had buried for years. And if we hadn't done the process we did, he would never, well, who knows? Maybe one day he would have been healed. But he broke down in tears and his broken heart was healed. And his wife, who had asthma and allergies all of her life, was completely freed of them. Don't tell me this stuff doesn't work and it's not of God. Can you deviate from it? Yes. Just like you can deviate from a word of knowledge into witchcraft. Just like you can deviate from doing anything good and make it evil. And if you twist anything just a little bit, it can become evil. You've got to make sure that everything's driven by the power of the Holy Ghost that lives within us. Higher levels of anointing are experienced when we do things God's way instead of our own. We are spirit, soul, and body. And God says in Scripture, all three should be preserved complete without blame at his coming. NTCF wants to help you fulfill this divine outline given to us by the one who designed us in our mother's womb before the foundation of the world. Let's build God's kingdom order together while we co-labor here at NTCF. This is the church's call to ministry, and I need each of you to help fulfill this awesome plan of God if we're going to go through this together. Okay. That was a mouthful. My prayer is that you just meditate upon those words. If you need to meditate further, they'll make up. Well, you just get online. It's so easy now, right? NTCFalive.com. You can hear. .net. Yeah, I know. .net. Let it resonate with you. And maybe it won't. And maybe it's not your call. And maybe you don't feel that that's how God wants to work in these New Testament days. We're New Testament Christian Fellowship, so this church will follow that early church pattern. And we will not give up because we see numbers decrease. We will have a tight-knit group of mature individuals that will move forward, and prayerfully you will bring in other people that are hungry and thirsty that want to share. And the reason I did this vision, this is the vision of your church. I've got to follow it. I can't look at man. And if God decides to shut her down, well, that's his call. Amen. So I hope that this clears things up for you. It tells you where we are as a church. We've been here for 17 years, and we've seen a lot of fruit from all these different ministries. But the most important part is when we gather together and we love on each other, and the home fellowships that you're in, and the help that you give each other day to day and week to week is what it's really all about. Jesus spent most of his time with his disciples. They were eating fish, and they were talking and asking questions and going back, and the disciples asked questions of Jesus all the time. And so that's why we're at this part, because now you get, I'm not Jesus, But I will attempt to do my best to answer any questions that you may have. So.